I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. If you've been listening to this program, then you know we try to follow events in Africa closely, like the effort to bring former Liberian dictator Charles Taylor to justice. But we feel it's also important to tell the stories of individuals, how they survive and live, how they hold on to hope and humanity. In a minute, we're going to bring you the story of a child soldier, as told by acclaimed Nigerian novelist Chris Abani. It's his latest novel. But first, Jacob Masekoi. In 1990, as Liberia was descending into civil war, Jacob Masekoi found himself in the middle of the chaos. He eventually found sanctuary in the U.S., but before he did, he would witness his brother's execution, lose his home and his father, and survive an attempt on his own life. Jacob Masekoi now lives on Staten Island, New York, and is the director of African Refuge, helping other Liberian refugees who also call America home. I asked Jacob Masekoi about his life in Liberia as the war was just beginning.
I was 17 years old. I graduated from high school with honor. I had passed the University of Liberia entrance examination with the view of going to the university to study physics. But when I went home to visit with my dad in Nimba County, my dad had told me that, Jacob, I don't want you to go to Monrovia, the capital, upon graduation because there will be war in the country, and I don't want you to get caught up in the war. But I didn't listen to my father, and I decided to travel to Monrovia.
So, were you able to go to school during this time?
Nah. We went to class occasionally, but sometimes they would close. Teachers, professors won't come to class because of insecurity.
Let us just go right to what happened at the St. Peter's Lutheran Church.
On July 26th, Mr. Charles Taylor had captured the ELWA radio station, and he made an announcement declaring himself president of the Republic of Liberia and ordering the arrest of Mr. Doe. So his speech really aggravated the government soldier, and he decided to go after all perceived supporters of the rebels. So in their mind by then, that those who were staying at the church, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, were sympathizers of the rebel, the soldiers came over that night at around 11 p.m. and they surrounded the building. Then at about midnight, they ordered the guard to open the door. The guys refused, and they shot him, and they started shooting. Came over the fence and started shooting indiscriminately in the building. All over the church. And it was very, very chaotic. People screaming, people running everywhere for refuge. And for me, we were three together that night, and we lied behind a brick wall. So one of the guys lying with me, he got shot on the head. His whole head got blown up. And his blood flashed all over my body. And so it was like the bullet hit all of us lying there. We were lying in a pool of blood. So at that moment, I thought I was dead. What I noticed that night, the soldiers were coming around making sure that people who they shot, they were actually dead. So those who were lying, crying, screaming, they shot them over to ensure that they were completely dead. Then they came and took the bodies away in an attempt to destroy evidence.
How did you get out of there?
Very good question. In the morning, people were hiding all over, in the roof of the building, everywhere, and we all came out for our hiding places. And we saw people from Red Cross and other humanitarian organizations, international media organizations, came around.
And I understand that that was not the last time that you were in harm's way.
There were many occasions where I personally thought I would have died.
As I understand it, that
a couple of years later, about 4 years later, when you were a student, you returned to your studies at some point, that I don't know whether this was a targeted assassination attempt or was it like the earlier incident where you were in a crowd, but that you were shot several times and almost died.
Yes, I was part of a student movement on the university campus advocating against this war, advocating against the use of children in the Mediterranean. And a day following our riding at the house where I was staying around the airport, a group of armed men attacked the building. And in the process, I was shot several times in my right leg. And when they managed to enter the building, they actually asked, "Where is Jacob?" And fortunately for me, before they entered the building and they entered the house, I had escaped the scene, though I was in a pool of blood. But I had escaped the scene, and I was hiding in one of the closets.
How did you finally come to leave the country?
In December of 2001, I was detained by the men belonging to the Taylor security apparatus. I was arrested and taken for questioning. And they kept me for 3 days in a dark room. I was tortured. And they charged me with sedition, spreading of negative propaganda against the Taylor regime. Friends and sympathizers mounted pressure on the government. And finally, I was finally released.
Now you live on Staten Island in New York. There was a pretty large Liberian population there. Do you think or do you know whether many of the people who live there have gone through the things that you've gone through?
There's no doubt about it. I work in a program that provides services and psychosocial support for victims of torture.
Africa Refuge?
African Refuge. Mm-hmm. And some of our participants actually fill out form suggesting that they were tortured. It is highly traumatic when people who have gone through torture, who've been tortured, to talk about it. So
I hear you're moving in your chair. Are you uncomfortable now?
No, I'm comfortable because I think that the question of torture, it is a very important question, and that the world needs to know about the impact of this horrible crime and the need to put an end to torture.
The other thing you talked about, Jacob, is the whole question of child soldiers. As the Charles Taylor is accused before the International Tribunal of kidnapping children or pressing children into service as child soldiers. Do you know whether any children who were pressed into service have gotten asylum in the U.S., and how are they adjusting?
This is a very sensitive issue. There may be some kids, children, who were former child soldiers in Liberia. And during asylum process, they don't write on a form that they were former child soldier. But based on our own experience in our work, we've beginning to see signs that signs we suggest that some of the clients we work with were indeed former child soldier, based on our story, based on the experiences they shared with us.
Jacob, as we're speaking now, you're so level-headed, you know, you're so even-handed in the way you speak about these things. But as I understand it, you know, you've personally experienced so much trauma. I think you've lost 6 family members in the war. Is that right?
Yeah.
How do you go on?
I've developed a personal philosophy. My mission in this world is to become the voice of the oppressed and to provide services and help those who are unable to help themselves.
Jacob Massakoi is the director of African Refuge. It's a volunteer-based organization in Staten Island, New York, that works to help African refugees. He spoke to us from our bureau in New York. Jacob Massakoi, thank you so much for speaking with us and sharing your story.
Thank you.